Good morning.
Good morning.
As I said earlier this morning about me and Brother Isaac talking last night, the message that he was preparing, he called specifically about asking about a message that he's going to prepare, and he was knowing my thoughts on the passage. And his passage was one, and I forget the exact one, but it talked about girding up the loins of your mind, renewing your mind. And he was wanting to know what I thought about that, about what I thought that meant. And so what I think about it is that we're laying hold of all the promises of God, that we're thinking on higher matters, that we're embracing the promises of God, and basically filling our mind with godly things and casting out all the distractions of this world. Talk about sobriety. We talked about an hour. But talking about sobriety, being sober, being in control. And kind of this message is going to kind of go along with that, that we must know Christ. This is not an option that we gird up the loins of our mind. This is not an option that we renew our mind or renew our mind with a right spirit. This is essential and necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. Knowing Christ is not an option. It's a need. It's essential. We can read in the scriptures of great men and women who had never gone to a school of theology. I mean, we don't have to go to these great institutions to know who God is, nor study ancient languages and customs. We don't have to know Greek. We don't have to know Latin. We don't have to know the things that they did back in Jesus' day or prior to that. We can read of normal men and women who had accomplished great things, not because of their education, but because of their great faith. They wanted to know more. They wanted to press in. And what were they pressing in? We can read of Paul saying that he counted everything but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus in God. We can see that he pressed in every day to know God more. God tells us, draw nigh to him and he will draw nigh to us. One of the ways that we can draw nigh to God is to think upon his ways. Even the simple faith of a child, even the faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. Jesus spoke highly of the children. You must have a faith of a child to enter into the kingdom. Children generally do not know higher level learning, but they know faith because they believe. We have been given the mind of Christ, and through faith, that is enough. God can teach us. God can learn us. He can mold us, and we can know his desires. Jesus came and he proclaimed who the Father was and the Father's heart, more specifically. Not do this and die, not do this and live. No, he got to the heart of the matter. And by doing so, he was bringing us to this closer relationship with God. When we, as husbands and wives, when we first meet our spouse, we know them on a superficial way. We can see them. We have chit chat. We have talk. We get to know them. But as we grow older with them, as we get married, we come into this more intimate relationship, because we go from the superficial to the deep things of our spouse. We start seeing into their heart, into their mind. And that is the same way that we are to come to God through Christ, is to know him more because He is the bridegroom. And we want to know the bridegroom more. And the way we come about that is we study in the Word of God, because that is what He has given us to do. And we're led by the Spirit. Faith is enough. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Righteousness was not given to Abraham because he left the Ur. He left Ur. He left his family. He did not find righteousness. He was not made righteous by his circumcision or anything else. It was by his faith, by him believing what God had said. He girded up the loins of his mind. He embraced the things that God had given him. Unlearned men and fishermen went out and they preached the gospel. It was nothing that they was taught in some school. It was taught by God and through the Holy Spirit. Even the rulers knew that these were ignorant and unlearned men, but they speak of boldness. They speak boldly the things of Christ. Jesus was a carpenter, but yet he delved in. He knew the mind. If we saw Christ, then we saw God. That was that connection between God and Christ. So if we come to know Christ, to gain this knowledge of Christ, then we are coming to know who God is. Jesus said to James and John, "Come and follow me." They were on a boat fishing with their father, which was a good thing, but it wasn't expedient. The expedient thing was to follow Christ. And they did that. And through their faith and believing what Christ had said, they went and they proclaimed. They went and proclaimed who Christ was. The Apostle Paul, he was very learned in the ways of the religious sect of the days, wasn't he? Yeah, he was on his way to a Pharisee of the Pharisees, it says. But he counted all of it but dung to gain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Paul also did not come to preach with wisdom of words. He knew that he didn't speak well. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." To preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So Paul did not go to a school to polish up his speech. Paul did not come to baptize. Paul did not come to heal. He came to preach Christ. And by preaching Christ, what was he doing? He was making known who Christ is to the rest of the world, of the audience. And what was the fruit of that? That many were baptized. Not in Paul's case, because he only remembers one that he baptized. But look at what the fruit of Paul's preaching has brought forth from the death of Paul, from when the epistles were written to now. Look how many millions and millions of people have come to the knowledge of Christ by Paul's non-wisdom of words. By his not being excellent in speech. Look at Moses. Moses comes to God and says, "I am not an..." What was the words? "I'm not elegant. I'm not eloquent in my speech." And God told Moses, "Who made man's mouth? I will speak for you." And when we come to have this knowledge of Christ, then God is speaking through us, through the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit knows. The Spirit knows the things that are needed to be said. And when we take in the Word of God into our hearts, then we have this abundant supply of Scriptures. We have this abundant supply, and I don't want to use ammunition, but that it's in my mind. It's this abundant supply of ammunition to give to those who ask. Jesus speaks in many of his words that all men... Jesus speaks in many of his words that all men, and refers to the sheep of another fold, will come in. All men. The sheep of another fold. He's not talking about the Jews. He's talking about the Gentiles here.
Amen.
So he's giving this knowledge out to the Jews and the Gentiles. He speaks and shares who the Father is to a Samaritan woman, and goes back, and she goes back to her town and spreads what she has been told. And many of the Samaritans comes back to Jesus and believe. Paul preached the gospel to the men of Athens who had an idol erected to an unknown God. Paul preached to them who this unknown God was. It was the God of all creation. And he also preached Christ unto them. Many of them believed. Many of them came, and we would like to hear more of this matter. Many of them believe. Now, I am sure that these people all had an idea on what the customs were in that day because they lived in that day. Mm-hmm. But the Bible does not speak of customs. It speaks of Jesus, in whom the middle wall partition was broken down and abolished in his flesh, the enmity that was between God and us, and made peace and reconciliation to God. Mm-hmm. And he also came and preached to them who were afar off. Preach to them who were afar off. They didn't have this knowledge. They didn't have this intimate knowledge of the Old Testament, of the Jews' religion. No, an Ethiopian was going to Jerusalem, and Philip came and met him. He was returning home from Jerusalem, and Philip came to meet him. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah. We all know the passage. And Philip started preaching Jesus. What hinders me to be baptized? There's water. It was that name of Jesus that brought that eunuch to God. It wasn't all the learning that he learned in Africa. It wasn't the learning that he learned in Jerusalem or that he knew the Jews' customs. It was that he heard Christ. And he was reading in the Word of God. And he didn't know who he was reading about. Is this reading about the prophet or someone else? He preached to him Christ. Christ is that middle wall of partition that was broken down. He broke down that middle wall of partition. He brought peace to God and man. Brethren, we do not have to have a grasp on ancient customs to come to God. We only have to have Christ, because it is only through him that is the way to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to me but by the Father, but by me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so we see that it is only through Christ. And it's not by, don't take my word for it. Look in the Scriptures. Look in the Scriptures and have God lead you. I'm sure that knowing the ways of the time it's a nicety, but it's not a necessity. Knowing Christ, that is a necessity. Mm-hmm. Jesus speaks of a wedding feast, and a man came that had not a wedding garment. This man was cast out into outer darkness because of his attire. The basis of the story that I see this is that he was not prepared. He was not donned. He did not have the proper garment on. And he was possibly trying to get in some other way. See, when we come to Christ and we gain this knowledge of Christ, we're putting Christ on. And now when we present ourselves before the throne of God, God sees Christ in us. When judgment day comes, if we are not properly clothed upon with Christ, then we too will be cast into outer darkness, whether we knew the customs or not. Remember, a lot of people in Jesus' day saw the mighty miracles that he had done. They heard his parables. They heard him speaking of God. They saw him healing, forgiving sins. But yet, not all of them believed. They had more of the physical world to believe who Christ was than what we did, because they was living the time. They saw him. But we have the Spirit now. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us. There was some that believed. They had the proper spirit. And they entered into the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. He came to Christ. He knew who he was. And Jesus says, "Today, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise." All the way up, as far as we know about this thief on the cross, the only thing we know is that he was a thief. We don't know how old he was, but we do know that he was a thief. He knew the customs. He knew the language. He knew everything at the time. But he didn't know Christ until he saw who Christ truly was. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, his soul was delivered. It is Christ whom we must know. We are talking about all men have the access to the Father, all those who will answer his call, which is the call of God. In John 6:44, "No man cometh to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." It doesn't say, "he that believeth this teacher, he that goes to this university, he that who knows Greek, who knows Latin, who knows Hebrew." No, "he that believeth on me hath eternal life." Mm-hmm. Knowing the customs is a nicety. Knowing the languages, it's a nicety. But it doesn't get you to God. It's Christ and Christ alone that gets you to God. This is not a separate part of the world. This is all men. There is no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no bond nor free in the kingdom of God. We are not to look at the flesh of a man, whether he is white, black, red, brown. It does not matter how his beard is shaved or how he is dressed. If they are truly following after the Lord, it will be him that teaches, that Christ teaches, and it is God that shows him the way to Christ. We are all taught of God. Jesus also said in John 12:32, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will what? Will draw all men to me." Will draw all men to me, he said. This is why Jesus came to the earth, to draw men. Not only to those of the seed of the flesh of Abraham, but to those who, or to those who knows the customs of the day. But in John 14:6, Jesus saith to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Mm-hmm. And again in John 10:1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door of the shepherd is... But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So we see that Jesus is that corridor. He's that entrance into God. It is only through Christ that we have access to the Father, and not through some knowledge that we have in this earth. The only knowledge that is going to pass into eternity is the knowledge of God and of His Christ. We're not going, we're not yearning to go to heaven to gain more knowledge of the things of this earth. The things of this earth are going to pass away. They're going to, Isaiah 65 or 66, I can't remember which one it is, but it talks about there will be no more remembrance. No more remembrance of the things of this life. The only knowledge that is going to pass into eternity is the knowledge of God and Christ. This is where we set our affection on, the knowledge of Christ and not the knowledge of this world, because the knowledge of this world will burn up one day. On that day of judgment, the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. That's that passage I was trying to think about. And like I said, it's like Isaiah 64, 65, 66-ish. On that, the only thing that is going to matter or come into mind is whether we know the Son. This coming of the Gentiles. This coming of the Gentiles, or someone other than the fleshly seed of Abraham, was a mystery. And it was spoken, though, of the prophets in the ancient of days, but it wasn't understood until Christ came. In Ephesians 3:3, how that by revelation he made known unto the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto us, by his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So, the apostles, not a one of them went to a university or was highly learned. You had tax collectors, you had fishermen. I can't think of what the other ones did right now off the top of my head. But Paul was the only one that had higher learning, and he cast that all away. He cast it all away because it wasn't profitable. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. It is revealed to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This knowledge brings us to this fact that Christ, that God, that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within each and every one of us. And greater is he that is in ye than he that is in this world. So if God be for us, who can be against us? This is all this knowledge of Christ. This gives the children of God confidence in knowing that no man can pluck us out of the palm of God's hand. This is all in knowing Christ. Girding up the loins of our mind, renewing our mind day by day. This is when we renew our minds, just as Peter, just on the day of Pentecost, the Lord's table, when he instituted that, he went down to wash Peter's feet. Jesus did, and Jesus said, "Not my feet alone, but my whole body. And it's only your feet that needs cleansed." So we see that we need cleansed by Christ our feet, because they are in the muck of the world. By renewing our mind, by girding up the loins of our mind, we are putting out the muck of the world. and we're renewing it with God. And as we are renewing it with the things of God, we are being transformed from glory to glory into the image of who? Of His Son. You see how all of this is working? We're drawing nigh to God with our knowledge and our wisdom, with our intimacy with God. And as we draw closer to Him, He is drawing closer to us. And as we get closer to Him, we are being transformed into His image. See the necessity of knowing who Christ is. The promise was given to Abraham before the law was given, and that through his seed all nations would be blessed. Now we know that the seed that this was referring to is Christ. Paul brought that out. All nations will be blessed, not just the ones who follow after the law, but all nations. You've got to put the law behind you. The law is there as a schoolmaster. The law is there to show that sin is exceedingly sinful. The law was given for our transgressions. It was never really given to bring us closer to God. That's what Christ does. The law brings us to this point of knowing, this knowledge. It reveals this knowledge that we understand that we cannot find acceptance through God through the law, because the law is weak through the flesh. It brings us to this knowledge that it is only through Christ that we can be cleansed and be made acceptable. The law was given as a schoolmaster to point to Christ, and He is the fulfillment of the law. This was a great mystery among the Gentiles, coming in until light was given to darkness. Not only showed the way, but it also opened up the way. In Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. So we see this direct access that we have to God, this knowledge, is at the right hand of God. There's no one who is closer to God than Christ. It is who we know, and more who knows us. There's many that came to Jesus. Jesus said a story, a parable. There's many that came to Him saying, Lord, have we not done these miracles and done all these mighty works? And Jesus said, I knew you not. I knew you not. So, this knowledge is also this coming to Christ and not only knowing Him, but that He knows us. Back in the time of Christ, people know Christ. They knew Christ after the flesh. They saw Him. They spoke to Him. But it does not mean anything to know Him after the flesh. It doesn't matter that He was the son of Mary and Joseph, or that He was a carpenter, or anything that He had did after the flesh. What matters now is, do we know Him now? Who He truly is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. This is where we must know people. Are they in God or not? We got to know whether people are in God or not. And those who are in God, this is who we make our relationships with. And I'm not saying that we don't have relationships with people outside of God, because we all go to the grocery store, we all work, we all have associates outside of the fellowship. And people see us as lights. But those who we come closest to, those who we are yoked together, they are the ones who are yoked to Christ. Mm-hmm. We are fellow yoke fellows. We are to have our sights on things above and not things in this earth. The clothes, the skin color, the gender, the hair, it'll all be burned up one day. And the only thing that will matter is that we are clothed upon with Christ. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, it's all by faith. Knowing. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus gave this commandment to his disciples. There is no state boundaries in this commandment. There is no division spoken of to Christ in this task. Go into all the world. Everyone who will hear will hear. Those who have ears and ears to hear and eyes to see will understand what the gospel has to say. As I spoke of a little earlier, there is another fold that Jesus spoke of in John 10:16. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring in, that they shall hear my voice, and they shall be of one fold and of one shepherd. Hear his voice. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all of one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, there is all of this knowledge, this wisdom, this revelation, and this gives us confidence. And now we are all of one body. There is no more divisions. In Revelation 7:9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. All nations. There will be this innumerable amount of people in the heavenly kingdom. We will all have our glorified and our spiritual bodies. All of our focus will be on the Lamb of God, no matter where we came from on the earth, no matter what time we lived in. It will not matter. On the last day, on that last and forever day, the Lamb will be a focal point of every kindred, of every tribe, and of every tongue. And in closing, it does not matter what kind of formal schooling we have on this earth. It does not matter whose parents we have, or our speech, or even our mental capabilities. What matters is that we know Christ, and that we are known of Him. And we are promised that those who are seeking will find. In God's ultimate wisdom, He has made a way to be, so that He is a righteous and a just God. He has found a way to break down that middle wall of partition that man had created. Mm-hmm. Remember, it was man's iniquities that God turned his face from us. Mm-hmm. It wasn't God. He has made a way for us to have peace with Him, no matter what our position in this world is. And that way He has made is through His Son. And it is only through His Son that we have access to the Father. And let me leave us with this one last verse. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So is there any questions or comments or corrections?
It is a good image of knowing that being clothed in Christ, that He is the garment we need, the covering, that we be not ashamed of our nakedness, but put on the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God through Christ. And it is, as you began, you know, a child's belief, and just the doing, you know, with the heart. Just believe that He is the Son of God. It is a simplicity, the simplicity that is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's simple, but it's difficult. It's a simple act, but it's a hard road. Mm-hmm. You know, a man or a country who has a great army is bold in their statements because they know they have the backing of a great army behind them. We have the backing of God. This knowledge shows us that we have the backing of God. And we can be very bold in the day, saying, I'm with Him. I am in Christ Jesus. Nothing can touch me. Well, I thank you all for your attention. So shall we stand?